Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. One of the leading transformation architects in corporate America, the man who built GE Capital, who reinvented NBC, creating CNBC and MSNBC, and is now transforming the nonprofit world, is the founder of Autism Speaks. All of that today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Bob Wright served as vice chairman of General Electric, chairman and chief executive officer of GE Capital, chairman and CEO of NBC Universal, and before that, Bob was president of Cox Cable. He and his wife, Suzanne, founded Autism Speaks, which focuses on global research, advocacy, and support services after their grandson was diagnosed with autism. The new book that's out is The Right Stuff, From NBC to Autism Speaks, co-authored by Diane Myrmigas. She's a business reporter. Honored to have you, Bob. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Jim. I'm thrilled to be talking to you.
Now, you're such a modest guy. Why doesn't the book have very much on your building of GE Capital?
It was focused more on the NBC piece because I was the CEO of NBC for 22 years. So the entertainment aspect and the cable, because I was 3.5 years with Cox. So I've got 25 or 6 years into cable and television and broadcasting and, you know, NBC and Universal. So that was just a focal point.
It's funny because you come from that business, and of course, originally you were considered a suit from GE. Now, you probably haven't been called this before, but after reading the book, you're kind of a subversive corporate radical. You were able to thrive in the risk-averse GE industrial culture, and at the time, the NBC cable-averse world. How did you survive, and did you have frustration in both directions?
I knew there were going to be difficulties. I did, in fairness, had a lot of support from Jack Welch, who was the CEO during most of my tenure. You need that kind of support, and I was the person that dealt with GE in many cases through Jack. I had to really protect the NBC activities and so forth because otherwise they would have been run out of town, and that was a very big part of my job was to be the go-between my own organization, which was NBC, which was a big one and got much bigger as time went on, and GE, which always had a lot of people that were very averse to what we were doing at NBC. They just never felt comfortable with that business.
All right, we've got to talk briefly about the divestiture of GE Capital, the sort of the deconglomeration that Jeff Immelt has finally come to. Does this, in a sense, repudiate Jack Welch's legacy, or is it sort of a natural outflow from the changing business conditions over 25 years?
I think it's a little bit of both. The GE Capital, when I was there, we used all of GE's tax base, and we used it for leverage leasing, and so we built a huge leasing business and a huge business full of machinery out there because that's what you were leasing, and that became a very big business, and was when I was there, it was probably 25 or 26% of GE's income. And people thought that was very large. And then it subsequently after that, after I left and time went on, it kept growing and growing until it got to be 50% of GE's income. And that was a pressure. There was a lot of pressure from analysts who weren't comfortable with GE Capital because they were industrial analysts by and large.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't feel comfortable covering a very large bank, which is what GE Capital had become, and heavily regulated, and they were always kind of like shying away from it.
Do you support the divestiture? And there, was it too complex to manage, the 08 crash, the industrial PE being higher than financial, the SIFI issue? Is it a mixture of those? Do you support it?
No, I support it. I wish that more had been done earlier, because we were still. The problem is, it's like a narcotic. When you have something that's 50% of your income, and people are saying, "Well, you got to get out of it," you say, "Well, wait a second. That's 50% of my income. If I get out of that, I've got to replace it with something that's going to be match that 50." And that isn't so easy to do. So there was always this hesitancy to recognize that. It had such an income power that it was hard to get out of it. Once they started, though, we got hit by in 2008 and 9. It was just merciless.
Mm-hmm.
And GE Capital lost about $32 billion. And it wasn't that they did anything wrong at that point in time. It's just that all of the banking markets went to hell because you couldn't get flows of cash, and you couldn't repay and turn over short-term borrowings.
Yeah, GE almost got knocked out of the game because of it.
When the stock went down to $5 and change.
I bought it at 12. I bought it at 12, feel good. Is the jury out on Immelt's tenure? Jack, you know, had a 32 PE, which obviously made it very tough. Jeff has gotten it to $31 versus 55 when Jack was there. Was he too slow to act? Is the jury out on whether he's a successful CEO?
Well, you know, he'll always be under examination because he came in when the stock was $43. That's mm-hmm. what it was. No, when he was announced, it was in the 53.
Mm-hmm.
And in the year that it took that Jack stayed on, almost a year, it went to 43. And that wasn't Immelt's fault. So he picked it up at 43, and it went all the way down to 22 by 2004 or 5, and that was burdened with all of these blow-ups of the energy markets, and 9/11 knocked out the aircraft engine businesses. So he had a lot of things to work with, or work against him. But you know, the reality is he's going to leave there, and he's still not going to have the stock. It's about half of what it was at its peak in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was it got to $600 billion of market cap.
They did, and it is, it's
too. But it was a 40 PE.
It's about half now.
Which is, that was just, you know, that's not.
That's absurd. I was a huge supporter of Jeff, but he's lost a lot of credibility with me over the years, and I kind of see him as more of a sales guy. Should McInerney have gotten the job?
Well, I mean, it was a very close call. It could have gone either way. You know, it's in hindsight, you say, you know, McInerney did a spectacular job at 3M, and he did a spectacular job with Boeing. So his credentials are impeccable. But he wasn't. Would he have been better at GE? Would he have done a better? You know, it's hard to say. But his performance, you know, and Nardelli's performance was very poor once he left.
Yes.
And McInerney's performance was A plus, and Immelt is, you know, somewhere in the middle of that.
Very interesting. Where do you come down on divest, acquire versus organic? You talk in the book that Jack Welch, in a total, actually destructed market value by $530 billion. You focused on organic growth over the NBC folks and got a plus $45 billion. Does that sort of hint what you think should be a long-term strategy?
Well, we tried, once we got into an area like cable, we tried to add on to it as much as we could, because once you develop this, you know, a skill in an area, you really have the ability to continue to grow it, and that was you know, what we started out with just a little piece of A&E, and we ended up with, I don't know, 20 different cable properties or pieces of them. I think you got to do both. You got to do both. Where you get in trouble is when you buy things you're not familiar with or you're uncomfortable with just because they look good. That becomes a problem.
All right, we got about a minute and a half. I have idolized Warren Buffett, and I've really respected GE, and I'm just intrigued. GE is totally control, Six Sigma, very much hands-on. Buffett, the exact opposite. He's got 24 people in headquarters. What do you think about them both being successful? Berkshire's way surpassed GE now in market values. I just checked it Friday, $355 billion versus $288 billion. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a unique company. Let's be realistic. You have a man there that's been there for 50 plus years. He was a brilliant financial analyst, and he turned over responsibility to people he really trusted and tried to get people in there that he did trust. It's just a very difficult thing. Other people have tried that and not had anywhere near the success that Buffett's had. So they're right. They couldn't be more different. One is a controlled business, GE, and his business is he controls it, but in a different way. He lets the management run it according to some pre-described goals and objectives.
And again, we should say GE has a tremendous history of success too, so both models seem to work.
Oh yeah, and GE's model is certainly much more common than the Berkshire model.
You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Biz Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. Go to biztalkradio.com, find the station closest to you, or listen over the Internet or access our podcast. Next, we're going to talk about reinventing and saving NBC.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-658-3876. That's 800-658-3876. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-658-3876.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
BizTalkRadio.com.
And we're back. Our guest, former NBC CEO Bob Wright. And we talked about the cultural gap between GE Industrial and the NBC side. What about the cultural gap between NBC was at 30 Rock and CNBC at Secaucus, only about 10 minutes away, but oceans apart, right?
Right. I can't think of anybody that came into broadcasting from cable. It's the other way around, generally. And I came into broadcasting after I had been at Cox Cable for 3.5 years, and I had quite a bit of exposure to broadcasting there. People don't recognize that because they've been a long time big broadcaster, and NBC was one of their strongest stations. And I got all that background from in cable. Then I came to NBC after GE Capital. And so I brought all my knowledge of cable to an organization that, you know, hated cable.
Very impressive. When you built cable, and, you know, I used to watch Brian Williams when he was there for a full hour. It was like minor league training, and it was great. Was part of that leveraging talent by putting, you know, on both, which they do a lot more now? Do you have to pay them if they're on both, or are you able to leverage them on that salary, and they're just sometimes on MSNB, sometimes on NBC?
Well, Brian Williams came from CBS, and he was under contract.
Right.
And he was under contract. And he would show up every day completely dressed, jacket and tie and pressed clothes, and he would sit in a very small office next to the president of NBC News. He would look at the shows, and he would write some script. He wasn't allowed to be on the air. When we did the MSNBC arrangement and we decided to take America's Talking, which was a show programs that existed on that cable channel, and we decided to put to MSNBC as a news channel, the best idea we had was to get Brian Williams and make him the news leader and give him an hour show rather than a half an hour show, which you have at nightly news, and give him a lot of room to, you know, be himself, because his talent was immense.
Yeah.
Still is. And that's how we got him in there. And he was, if you remember, that's when the TWA plane crashed in Long Island Sound.
Yeah.
Not in Long Island, so in the Great South Bay, or out just outside of it. And he was on 24 hours, and
he's
established himself.
I just loved watching him when he was in the minor leagues, if you want to call it that. Tell us, now you did unbelievable work at CNBC and NBC. And, you got profits up to $1 billion with 37% fewer people overall in the NBC world. Talk a little bit about how you invented them and on MSNBC, the Bill Gates input.
The network business is based upon licensing, has been old, based upon licensing other people's programs and then selling advertising. And so you don't have a lot of capital investment. But you do, in order to develop every year, you're spending $30, $40, $50 million, and most of the shows fail. And we got into the position where we could produce the shows themselves and own them. And that paid off handsomely, but we also would we also had a lot of hits. And that's a tricky proposition. And I was very fortunate. All during the time I was there, we had a lot of hits. And that gave us a tremendous cash flow and made a great deal of difference. And cable, once you established the cable channels, they provided tremendous cash flow. And the cable business today at NBC, the majority of the income comes from the cable businesses. But they still have a very strong performance on the broadcast side.
Did you find yourself, James Baker famously said this, that he was going to be the White House's man over at the State Department, not become a captive the other way. Did you view yourself as GE's man at NBC or NBC's man at GE?
I tried to be both.
Tough.
At the same time, I had to be an honest broker, and I was honest with my people at NBC. I mean, I gave them fully informed about where we stood with GE on this, that, or the other thing, and I was very honest with Jack all the time about, you know, where we stood with what we needed to get done and where we had problems and so forth. And my success was largely based upon the fact that I was transparent to both sides, but I certainly could double up if I saw a situation that was going to hurt NBC, I was very quick to try to defend him or put him in a position to mitigate it.
Obviously, a reputation of honesty, which worked both ways. Well, I thought was a brilliant and gutsy move was to put creative talent in the three key roles, the president of NBC's News, Andy Lack, NBC Entertainment, Don Ullmeyer, and president of NBC Sports, Dick Ebersole. You can talk about that. And I two pieces of it is making news a profit center. Were you able to do that without compromising integrity and quality? And the second thing, the whole Olympic rights thing was a brilliant coup.
Well, it taken in out of order perhaps, but yes, we did make news became a very strong profit center. I don't believe at any point that we compromised anything to do that. We just got really good people in there. I tried to hire people who were all stars in their own right, and they were producers, people who had experience in developing programming, managing talent, and hiring talent. And they all did that, and whether it was sports or entertainment or news. And in the case of news, Andy Lack did a wonderful job as our president for many years, and he turned that into be a very strong supporter of income. So in the worlds of business, the businesses that don't make money are always looked down on them, regardless whether that's a fair thing to do or not. So in the case of NBC News, NBC News was a moneymaker, so it got the respect it deserved, at the big table at our weekly staff meetings and so forth.
Okay, we got a couple minutes, so I want to get through a couple more things. A crisis, terrible thing to waste, they always say. The Dateline fiasco, that was actually an important event for transforming everything.
It was. It was very unfortunate, and it did. But it brought in Neil Shapiro, who came in and became the head of Dateline. He came from ABC, and he was a star, and Dateline's still a very big show today. It took a while to get past it. We acted very quickly. We owned up to whatever it was. There were some people in the news division that didn't like that, but I think that's what really saved us and gave us credibility.
Let's finish up this segment, this transformational deal with Vivendi Universal. Pretty amazing. You only, I think, had to put down $3.8 billion in cash, eventually worth $45 billion.
Well, the company was worth $45 billion, all of it. It was a perfect match for us because we were 90% advertising, and Universal was 90% fee-based, selling tickets and so forth. And when you put them together, we were 50-50. So we had a nice balance between advertising and fee, you know, from everything from the parks to the theaters and to all of that. We just had so much synergy. And you put them, you slap them together, and that $3.5 billion, or not even $4 billion, which was the down payment, we were paying 20% of the profits to Vivendi because they own 20% of it. We took 80, and it was a spectacular arrangement. Actually, it got turned on its head because that's exactly what Comcast did with GE when it bought NBC. They did the same thing. They took a page out of our acquisition of Universal.
Okay, coming next, we're going to play some word association.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
Going on now at Guitar Center. It's Guitarathon. Your chance to save up to 30% on over 250,000 guitars, basses, amps, and accessories from major brands. Strike a chord with Martin Acoustic Strings. Buy one, get one free. Pursue your tone with an Epiphone electric or acoustic guitar. Your choice, just $99. Or plug it and play with instrument or mic cables. Buy one, get one free. Music can take you a lot of places. Make sure you start at the center this weekend at Guitar Center's Guitarathon. In-store and online.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975 for your free health insurance quote. Call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're talking with Robert Wright. He's the author of The Right Stuff, From NBC to Autism Speaks. And I thought people would get a kick now. You worked with an incredible amount of bigger-than-life personalities. So I thought I'd ask you about a couple of them, and maybe you can quickly, either what comes to mind first or something that particularly related to you. The first one, Ted Turner. And very interesting that you guys tried to buy TBS, CNN, and Jack, and Ted didn't get along too well, I guess.
No, that was unfortunate. I met Ted Turner when I was down in Atlanta with Cox. And Cox Cable, we were one of the very first supporters of CNN when it went out. And his offices were not too far from mine. And at one point, he wanted us to buy 49% of CNN because they needed cash. They were desperate for cash because he was pouring money into his TBS. And he was buying movie studios and so forth. And when we came very close to that, but that was too much, I think, for the Cox family. They thought he was just too much of a he's a handful. He's like a major hurricane. You know, he's a three-star hurricane.
So he makes Jack Welch seem low key.
Absolutely, and we tried to buy the company from him and the other cable companies that came to own Turner. And we got down to a negotiation session at the Ritz-Carlton in Buckhead, which is a section of Atlanta.
Yeah, my sister lives there.
Right, with the Turner and myself and Jack, and it was a
it didn't fly.
It didn't work. Turner wanted to be a vice chairman, and he wanted to be able to do what he wanted and talk about things, and he already had been doing that with the Time Warner, and it was like. I said, I can't deal with that. I just can't deal with that.
It just quickly, was Time Warner AOL the worst deal of all time? We're interviewing Steve Case in a couple of weeks.
Well, for Steve Case, it was the luckiest thing that ever happened.
Yeah, I know.
And he got out clean. He got cash. He owns half of Hawaii as a result of that. That's wonderful for him. But everybody else got screwed. It was a terrible, terrible deal.
Including Ted Turner.
Yeah, and he's one of these guys that knew exactly how much he was worth every day. He went from $8 billion to $2 billion.
And lost his job.
Yeah, lost his job. Right?
A double. Okay, before we get to some other big guys, I got to bring up Donald Trump. You brought him in for The Apprentice. He claims you guys paid him $214 billion. What are your thoughts on Trump?
Trump is a very transparent guy. And that's what the news people have so much trouble with him, because he says these things and he's just out there. He doesn't, his past is, everybody knows about it. So he's very transparent. There's nothing about this guy that's secretive. He's highly energized, and he makes very good deals. And he's made mistakes, and he's paid the price for those mistakes. And he manages that as well. I've had business dealings with him, and they've been terrific. And I know his family, and he's got enormous respect for women. That's just one of those terrible situations he got himself into, maybe. But he needed to break away. He was one of 17, and I think he looked himself in the mirror and he said, "I'm not going to run for president and try to be number 16, then work my way to 14 to 15." Yeah. So he came right out of the box.
He took him out.
And he took him out. That's what he really did. But all that, you know, that bluster, and people were like, "Wow, this guy's really saying things here."
Mm-hmm. Well, we could spend the whole show on him, but let's just do quickly. Bill Gates. I brought up before. You guys, you called it a marriage of convenience with him on MSNBC. Was that relationship kind of doomed?
Well, it was a tricky. It was a tricky relationship. Bill was ahead of his time. He saw all the potential of the internet, and he thought it would just happen much faster than it did. And his interest was to be in the news business. He wanted to be in the internet news business, and doing the MSNBC program, creating MSNBC, and that relationship, he was going to run the internet side, we were going to run the broadcasting side, mm-hmm. and that's what we did. But the thing just didn't come out as fast, and if we had probably run both of them, it might have worked a lot better. But he became disillusioned that things weren't happening as quickly as he thought, and it was expensive relative to what he thought it might be.
Yeah, you negotiated a brilliant deal.
Well, he just wanted everything to happen faster and faster, and we did it very well with MSNBC, and not as well with the internet side of it, and that was, under his domain, so he kind of got down on himself. It was a very difficult relationship.
And quickly on Bob Iger, you call him the best of the best in that business. Are you concerned that they seem to have succession challenges every time they go through this, first with Eisner and now the number two guy just left?
Well, I am concerned. I was surprised, because he knew all about the issue when he came in with Eisner. He had difficulty with Eisner. He wanted to micromanage the transformation and all. I don't really know what happened. I don't think there's any. I have read what I can see. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's really happened there. I was very surprised. The guy that is left is extremely able, and will be able to go anywhere he wants. From everybody that I talk to, they think that he's just terrific. So. Something happened there that maybe it's some of those board members. You've got Perlman over there. I mean, Perlmutter, who's got some influence, and maybe they didn't get along. I don't know.
Interesting. We'll intersperse this with some talent now. I always viewed Johnny Carson as a real loner. You actually traveled with him and had a very close relationship.
We became very good friends, and my wife and he were just terrific together. They were simpatico. We traveled all over the world, actually, and people don't know how Johnny Carson was in the Navy in World War II, but as a seaman, and then they took him out and they put him into the code school,
mm-hmm.
and he was a decoder. So that takes this. There's a special talent to be able to do that.
You said he learned Russian when you went out to Russia.
We went to Russia, and he learned to speak Russian in five months before it. We went to Tanzania. And we went way into the bush, and he learned to speak Swahili 5 months before we went to Africa. Can you imagine that?
Unbelievable. Did you think the succession, the Leno Letterman thing, was mishandled? Or?
It was just a terribly difficult thing. We really mm-hmm. wanted Letterman to stay. Michael Ovitz put together a package that they shopped around to people, and it was just, from my standpoint, it was just outrageous. I was shocked, actually, that CBS agreed to it, because they basically sold the show.
Yeah.
He owned the show.
And the hour afterwards.
Yeah, but I still want, I was hoping that we would convince him to stay, because he's not a guy that really liked to travel from one place to the other. It just wasn't possible, so we couldn't. And Jay did an excellent job. Jay beat him consistently yeah. over all those years. But Letterman had that unique spark that was very attracted to a lot of people.
Now, go back to an investor here. John Malone has always intrigued me because he almost single-handedly controlled the cable industry, and also, but through financial engineering.
He is, he's an engineer.
Yes.
And he was a pretty good engineer. And he's just a very, very bright person.
You don't buy the Darth Vader that Al Gore hung on him.
Yeah, and he likes to be in the background.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like to be out there at all. And he doesn't like to pay taxes. He doesn't believe in government spending. So he was perfect. He sold a cable on the basis of cash flow. And at that point in time, in the early 80s, that's when I came into it, and I learned a lot from him about how to put together a balance sheet and a statement and sell stock. In a company that was continually losing money by the standards of typical accounting, it was losing money from a tax standpoint, but it was generating enormous amount of cash.
I have to say, one of the most outstanding economic parts of NBC is the Evergreen shows. Tonight, Today, Saturday Night, on for 40 years, whatever.
Yeah.
Talk about Lorne Michaels.
Well, he's unique in the business. He's the heart. heart and soul of NBC from a standpoint of entertainment production. He's just really unique, and he had a lot of tough times, and I was trying to protect him as much as I could, because every person that came into the entertainment business thought that he was too expensive, and we ought to make a change, or we ought to cut him back and whatnot. And I was constantly arguing with people about that. That was always an issue.
And you protected him. Well, I want to finish this segment off with your sense on what ego ends up doing in the destruction category. Jack Welch at the end, Michael Eisner at the end.
Ego is wonderful. I don't think you can be a successful leader without a lot of ego. And yet you've got to find some way to control it. And you have to have some people around you that you can trust or that will actually, you know, give you advice. Otherwise, you're gonna eat yourself. And there's so many examples of people whose ego just, you know, in the end, really hurt.
All right, our last national segment is coming up. Autism Speaks.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving, but my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, Call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
BizTalkRadio.com.
And we're back. Our guest, former NBC CEO Bob Wright. Bob, you had all these unbelievable jobs, legendary at GE, NBC, Cox, et cetera, and now you formed Autism Speaks. Do you feel all of that led up to this? Is this a life mission now, or another just transformational part of your management skills?
This was not a job that I was looking for. And yeah. My wife and I were shocked when my grandson was diagnosed with autism, and he lost all of his faculties, all of his communication faculties in a period of a few months. And he also picked up a lot of medical issues and GI problems and all kinds of things. The poor little guy was just, we thought he was a star little boy, and all of a sudden he's just kind of like lost everything. And that's what autism can do, and that's what it does to families. And when we started to go around the country to see, to understand autism better, we would find these families that were all broke because they had no insurance coverage. Their insurance, they all worked, but the insurance, they had no insurance coverage for autism. And there's occupational training, speech training, behavioral training, and they might have had a little bit of occupational, a little bit of speech, but they were running up huge debt. The problem with autism is one of the parents has to quit work and stay home. So you're losing half your income, or you're losing whatever portion of it.
Tell us what the prevalence is of autism, what direction that's going in. And doctors wouldn't even mention the term when you guys first found out.
No, it was always like taboo. See, it's a spectrum disorder. Every person with autism is different. There are different autisms, but they've never been clearly broken out. We're trying to do that now by doing whole genome sequencing, and we will. But it was very difficult to get focus on it and organize these parents, and that's what we did. We decided we'd try to create an organization that would basically roll up a lot of parent groups to make a real difference. And Bernie Marcus called me up one day on my way to Greece for the 1994 Olympics. And he said, I've got to come up and talk to you. I've been involved with autism for a number of years. I spent a lot of money on it, and I'm not getting anywhere. There's no recognition. We have to get the awareness of it. He said, if you'll go in that direction, I will put up $25 million. Well, it was originally much smaller, but that's what we ended up through negotiation. And I did, and I brought some people in, and we all put money up. We started out, and we were flush to do things, and we acquired a number of different groups, and we also acquired their liabilities, which were mostly grants that needed to get paid, and we covered every one of those grants, and that's how we established it.
Talk a little bit about the mission of Autism Speaks and how the sort of the chief passion officer, your wife, and you worked together and built this.
Well, Suzanne was critical. She has the passion, and she has the empathy, and she was the one that would give a lot of speeches. She single-handedly got the UN involved with autism, got the United Nations and got the World Health Organization and got a day for autism, and actually she did it through the Middle East. She She did it through the Arab community with Qatar being our leading supporter. Very unlikely. You would think it would be the U.S. You'd think it would be Europe. They're the two most difficult to deal with on that subject. So it, and we've got Bangladesh in Southeast Asia. She did all of that. She was the leader for all of that. And Light Up the Blue, this big campaign that we've done, she had over 20,000 buildings just this during the course of this month. This is Autism Awareness Month. And we did the Ad Council programs with BBDO, and that they provided all of the creative at their expense. And we just did the actual out-of-pocket cost. But it is those campaigns are among the very strongest campaigns that the Ad Council has in its in 70 years.
In fact, I guess part of the reason that U.S. politicians don't get too close is the genetic or environmental split, which actually even split your family, right?
Well, it's that was a lot of that was the question of vaccines.
Yeah.
You know, we have determined that about half of autism can go to a genetic reasons, and the other half is environmental. And people say, oh, how are you going to deal with that? I said, well, most cancer is like 80-90% environmental. They don't know what causes cancer, you know, and people have no clue about that. And I have cancer, so and my wife now has cancer, so they don't have any clue about that. They've been with cancer for 70 years, and they still don't know what causes it. They don't have cures for something like pancreatic. So this issue about, gee, we don't want to help autism because you don't know how it's caused and you don't know how to cure it is ridiculous when you compare it to other diseases like diabetes and other, which the same things they don't know.
Part of the reason everybody's so frustrated with Washington. Now, once again, you brought advanced technology, even ahead of everything on the genome sequencing for autism. Talk about that with Google.
We couldn't get the NIH to do whole genome sequencing, and we said the problem with autism, we don't have enough really basic science, and there's nothing more basic than a whole genome sequencing. That's what you got to do. You get that started, you can work your way up. And we formed a relationship with an outstanding scientist in Canada, Stephen Scherer, and he was supported by the province of Ontario and the federal government and a lot of people in Autism Speaks Canada that put up a lot of money to help his – he's got a spectacular genomic laboratory. He's one part of it. We're the other part of it, and Google is the third part of it. So we all put up time and effort and money, and we have sequenced over 7,000 whole genomes, all of coming from families involved with autism. And we have a scientific portal up that is open now. We have over 100 scientists from around the world. It's open to any legitimate scientist. They can use the material. They don't owe us any money. There's no sharing. It's not like there's no overhead coverage that they're paying. If they derive something that makes money, they get to keep it. And we also have about 40 institutions around the world that are involved in it. They have access to the portal, and Google manages the portal. They manage the amount of data is incredible. It's incredible how much data you get when you do this. So, and that's, we thought other disease groups would come along and follow, and they don't seem to be able to raise enough money to do it, and it's really disappointing because that's where, this is what personalized medicine is all about.
Tremendous effort. And again, you built this from scratch, transformation, fighting a lot of stuff. As our last few seconds, how would you summarize the Bob Wright formula for success?
Well, I think I have to have vision. You have to have big vision, and you have to recognize how hard it is going to be to accomplish it. And then you have to get really good people helping you, really good people working with you.
Thanks to Bob Wright. A great hour. We wish Suzanne Godspeed as well in her battle. The book, The Right Stuff, From NBC to Autism Speaks, co-authored by Diane Myrmigas, published by Rosetta Burks. Our next show, we're going out to Omaha for the legendary Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting. We'll be in the lobby there of the Hilton Omaha. Should be a lot of fun. Thanks to our national audience for listening. Thanks to Bob Wright for a great interview. We'll see everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.